Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you have ever, oh boy, here we go. How many of you have ever decided to start exercising? And everybody, Mrs. Jenkins, you laughed really hard when I said that. Amen. I remember when we were in high school, 20 springs ago, I was in high school. And I remember when we would run, see, did we have any people that ran track? You're insane. That's what you people are. You're just running to run. Amen? See, we used to run in shape for soccer. Or we would run because the basketball coach would whistle. Or we would run because we were in baseball season and we wanted to be in good shape. But they've always taught it's always better to run with a partner. You know why? Because our mind says you're done. And when your mind says you're done, your body stops. Amen? If you look at your lesson sheet on our introduction, spiritual battles are won or lost in the mind. Amen? Just like you're running and all of a sudden your mind says, I've had enough. Morning. Praise God for that. Amen. I mentioned Sunday morning that I want my children to love what I love and hate what I hate. You know where all that comes from? Thinking. What we think about. A thought, 1 Samuel 6. During a rage of anger. The Bible says in Matthew 12:34 that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So a thought is the father of every word. A thought is the father of every act. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. What he's saying there, Pastor? Listen, it was a thought that produced an act. Before anybody went out and committed adultery, they thought about it. You see, our thought life, ladies and gentlemen, is very, very important. Very important. The thought is the father of every act. Look, if you would, at number one. We're going to have just 3 points today. They all start with G. Number one, if we're going to concentrate on our thought life and consider the Christian thought life, we're going to need to start by guarding our thoughts. Guarding our thoughts. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. We're in Proverbs now. Go over just a couple pages to Proverbs chapter 4. Listen, this is a great verse. Young people, you ought to mark this verse. You ought to memorize this verse. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Can we say, without doing a deep Bible study, that when God many times refers to the heart, He is referring to you, the inside, the thoughts that you have? Because the Word of God is a thought, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, the Bible says. Doesn't say brain. It's talking about that, who we are really inside. What we think about, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, our text says. So what are we talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about guarding your thought life. Those of you that know a little bit about computers know that where you go on a computer, where you go on the internet, is stored in something called a cache file. And that file is in your hard drive. You may not be able to find it, but I promise you somebody can find it. Amen. Don't look at me. I don't know how to find that stuff. I'll talk to somebody else. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, God gave us the most miraculous hard drive, and it's called your mind. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me and listen well, young people. What comes in stays in. I think it's probably pretty important that we guard our minds, and all God's people said. We're careful about what comes in the eye gate. We're careful about what comes in the ear gate. The principle, if you look on your worksheet there, the principle is this: garbage in equals garbage out. That's the principle. Listen, if you put garbage in your mind, you are going to have a garbage thought life and consequently a garbage life lived, and all God's people said. It just, you can't have it any other way, folks. A good tree brings forth good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit. Bad thoughts, bad fruit. Good thoughts, good fruit. Amen? So there's a principle there. Garbage in, garbage out. Not only the principle, but the protection. The protection. Fences keep the good in and the bad out. Mr. Kraft is kind enough to put up a length of fence for us on the side of our house. We're wanting the boys to be able to run around in the back. We don't have much yard there, but we want them to be able to run around, and that fence keeps the good in. Did you know why this preacher doesn't go on certain websites? Because I want to keep the good in, and I want to keep the bad out. You know why this preacher doesn't watch certain television programs? Because I want to keep the good in, and I want to keep the bad out. Amen? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get serious about this attitude of guarding our mind. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Yes, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eventually, if you think about something long enough, you'll do it. We need to guard our minds. Guarding our minds, guarding our thoughts. Number two, not only guarding our thoughts, but guiding our thoughts. Go back just a few pages to Psalm chapter 139, a very familiar portion of Scripture, and I trust will be during this revival meeting. Perhaps you would even make this your prayer verse during the revival meeting. Psalm chapter 139, tremendous psalm, by the way. That's where we learn that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. And I love verse 17 of Psalm 139. It says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God." The fact that God thinks about me. Amen. But go down to those last two verses. Not only guarding our thoughts, but guiding our thoughts. And it says there, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my," what's the next word, class? "Thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of life everlasting." If we are to please God, on your outline, the Bible must guide our thoughts. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a book of suggestions. Amen? This is not a book of Burger King, take it you take it or leave it, have it your way. No, 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 no. If we are going to have a proper thought life unto the Lord, we're not only going to have to start by guarding our minds, we're going to have to be guiding our minds by the Word of God. Psalm chapter 19, verse 14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We quoted it before, Psalm 66, 18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Psalm 119, 9, you know it. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word." And then verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." How about Philippians chapter 4, verse 8? "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things."
So, lots of times we go to the amusement park. And I don't. Usually after one roller coaster ride, I realize that I'm not 18 anymore. And I sit there and watch. Wait. Do this, amen? Because after one ride, I'm kind of like, okay, alright, I'm okay. But you know, and again, I'm not against amusement parks, the word itself, that's its root. The word muse means to think. With the prefix "ah" in front of it, "ah" means don't think. Do you know the devil wants you to not think? Wants you to act? Just go upon the fleshly impulse. And you know, to counteract that, if you're going to counteract that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have to guide your mind by the principles of the Word of God. You know, there's a principle that it's good for a man not to touch a woman, and all God's people said. Listen, if you're not married, you shouldn't have your hands on other women. Amen? Or if you are married, you shouldn't have your hands on other women. Amen? Should have your hands on your wife or vice versa. Amen? But listen, the principle is such that we're not to be touching and feeling and all that. Why? Because of where it leads. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have to be guiding our thoughts. We have to be guiding it. If we're not, the flesh will take over by default. Amen? That's the way the flesh is. It betrays us. We're guarding our thoughts. We're guiding our thoughts. On your outline there, right thinking is a product of right relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be guarding our thoughts and guiding our thoughts and having that right relationship with God. And through it, we can have right thinking. So much of this world, so much of so-called Christianity is filled with thinking. Just pure. And again, there's two things that meet every one of those, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Amen. You say, "I'm having trouble with my thought life." Get your nose in this book. Amen. It'll help. Not only guarding our thoughts and guiding our thoughts, but number three, we need to be governing our thoughts. Governing our thoughts. Would you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Tremendous passage of Scripture. I've read this many times, quoted it many times. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. It's good to hear those Bible pages rustling. As we often say, as long as they don't rustle too long. Amen. If you need help, go to the front of the Bible where the index is and find 2 Corinthians. Amen. It's right after 1 Corinthians in my Bible. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse 3 if you would. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Sometimes you wish you could, don't you? The devil's beating you up and you can't show yourself. "I'm just going to knock you off." I know the word is pretty powerful. Amen. But we don't war after the flesh. Look at verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Strongholds, a faulty thinking pattern
a stronghold, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now here it is, folks, governing our mind. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. On your outline, we must give God access to our thought life. We must give God access to our thought life. You say, but God already knows our thoughts. I understand that. Okay? Just like when you have caught your child doing something, and he's got fudge all over his face, and on, of course, those parents here, and then, but you look at it, you say, did you eat that fudge? Because that was dripping off his chin. And all you wanted to do was say, yes. Listen, God wants us to give him access to our thought life. You know what God doesn't do? God doesn't force doors open in our lives. He wants us to open the door and say, you can come in. I remember what that was in my early Christian life, Brother Sam. I remember there were certain things that God had complete access to. There was other little chambers in my heart, and I thought like that. No, that's mine. That's mine. Well, I thank God after a while I came without the skeleton keys and you can have access to everything. Listen, you're never going to have victory over wicked, impure thoughts until you allow God complete access in your thought life. And by the way, every one of us struggles with our thought life. I have been, as a preacher, going about doing God's work, and then all of a sudden the devil will put something in my thought pattern that I have not thought of. Some wicked thought, some product of a seed I sowed, and I think, where did that come from? What on earth? I remember talking with Brother Dave Jenkins, Brother John, tremendous pastor, and he was telling me, he says, there I am, I'm getting ready to preach to 2,000 teens, and I have the most terrible thought come into my mind, and I think, where did that come from? Ladies and gentlemen, we have to give God access to our thoughts. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. Allow God. Another thing we have to do, not only is give God access to our thoughts, we need to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went away, he was getting ready to go away, and he began to talk to the disciples about the Holy Spirit, John 14, John 16. And he used the word, he said, I go away, but if I go away, the Comforter will come. And he said, I'm going to give you another comforter like myself. That word comforter is the word paraclete. The Greek word is paraclete. It means one just like. One that comes alongside to help. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not to fight your thought battle, your thought life battle alone. You need the help of the sweet Holy Spirit of God. He will help you. But you got to ask. Again, he's not going to force you to. Sometimes he'll show us our folly. You go to Psalm 51 and say, I can't ask for help. We need to govern our thoughts. We need to give God access to our thoughts. We need to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to confess evil thoughts as sin. And by the way, the best time to do that is right when it happens. Amen? You don't have to close your eyes if you're driving and say, oh God, please don't do that. Because somebody else is probably going to say that as you're pulling into their lane. But I mean just a personal walk with God that you're having and you say, God, that's sin. I know it's wrong. I know that thought was wrong. Forgive me. Forgive me. Help me. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Talking to this old brother, telling me about her nephew that passed away at 45. You know, there's one reason why I'd be a Christian. It's because we do not forgive. That would be just one out of 100 reasons why I'd be a Christian. I want to tell you something. One of the things about being a Christian and confessing our sins, why on earth would you want to go around loving your sin all the time? You confess it, God forgives it, cleanses it, and doesn't remember it anymore, amen? But so many Christians walk around with carrying that sin. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to govern our thoughts, and governing our thoughts means confessing evil thoughts as sin. Something else we have to do, we're going to have the right kind of thought life, is we're going to have to spend time with God each day. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this is elementary, but you've got to get in this book every day, even if it's just for a few minutes. And one of the reasons why I recommend morning, and again, if you do your study in the evening, that's okay, I'm not mad at you, just do it, amen? But you get alone with God in the morning before the chaos of the day has set in, amen? Before you've already blown your stack five times. Amen? We need to get with God every day. Spend time in God's Word. Spend time in prayer with God. Listen, that'll help us to govern our thoughts. Spending time with Him. Amen? Something else. If you're going to have the right kind of thought life and governing your thoughts, you're going to have to eliminate destructive influences. You're going to have to eliminate destructive influences. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of garbage on television. Amen. There's a lot of garbage. Now, I have not had cable or dish or anything like that since 1996. My poor deprived wife doesn't get to watch the cooking channel and all that. And she's got about 1,000 cookbooks anyway, so she doesn't need to watch that. Amen. But listen, I don't do it, and I promise you, for us it's financial. And for you, maybe it's not destructive. Maybe it's just a weight. You spend hours and hours and hours in front of that television and no time in your Bible. Destructive influences. My wife was counseling with a young lady, and she was talking about how she's having difficulty in her thought life. One of the things my wife said, you've got to get rid of ungodliness. You want to talk about pumping drugs, right? I promise you, I know what I'm talking about on this one. I was in the heavy metal scene. It was about every time I was doing something, that music was blaring, Pastor John, and it was pumping in negativity, pumping it in. Before a soccer game, before I was saved, I'd play goalie, and I would pump that stuff into my brain, and I promise you, I couldn't wait to absolutely destroy somebody. First hit, just couldn't wait to hit him. Why? Because I was pumping that stuff into my mind. Listen, if you're going to have the right kind of thought life, if you're going to govern your thoughts properly, you're going to have to eliminate some destructive influences in your life. It may be friends. Maybe some friends got to go. They're hurting you. They're hurting your thought life. Let me give you the last thing. We need to focus our thoughts on others. Oh, I don't mean, hey, this person, and watch that person. I'm talking about our thoughts on the needs of others. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll be done with these verses. Philippians chapter number 2. I believe we have verses 5 through 8, but if you would, just maybe make a change there. Put verses 3 through 8. We're going to have to focus our thoughts on the needs of others. Verse 3 says of Philippians chapter 2, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." How can we esteem other better than ourselves? I'll tell you, they're right here. Your thoughts. The problem is we think ourselves to be something when the Bible says we're nothing. Amen. I am, but I am by the grace of God, Paul said. We need to esteem others. Look at verse 4. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." So when you're thinking about others, what happens? Look at verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know what happens when you consider the needs of others? The Bible calls that the mind of Christ. we'd all still be heading for hell if it weren't for Jesus. And then it goes on to say in verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. You want to govern your thoughts? You're going to need to give God full access to your thought life. You're going to need to ask the Holy Spirit for help. You're going to have to confess evil thoughts as sin. You're going to have to spend time with God each day. You're going to have to eliminate destructive influences. And you're going to have to focus your thought life on the needs of others. And when you do that, the Bible says you'll have the mind of Christ. We need to be guarding our thoughts. Amen? We need to be guiding our thoughts. We need to be governing our thoughts. Father, pray that you'd bless now as we have a brief period of invitation. Help us, Lord, in our thought life.